The Justice Department Inspector General recently found the slow pace of government costs lives. A new report looks at how the FBI and Justice Department tried to clean up a mess that began nearly 20 years ago. Examiners at the FBI crime lab did shoddy work for criminal prosecutions. It took the FBI nearly 5 years to identify all the victims, all the defendants, rather, who might have been impacted. An agency task force took 9 years to finish reviewing the problems. Deputy Inspector General Cynthia Schneider joins us now to explain more. Cynthia, good morning.
Good morning.
So briefly recap what happened nearly 20 years ago and bring us up to the present.
There was a task force in place from 1996 to 2004, and it was based on allegations that a whistleblower had brought forward at that time relating to problems in the FBI lab. And that task force went about finding where the problematic cases were and giving notification. Then you move forward, you know, to current day, and in 2012, there were media reports on some people who were wrongfully convicted based on FBI laboratory analysis, and it turns out that many of them were not found and appropriately notified during this old task force that took place from 1996 to 2004. So it appeared that some of the people who had faulty lab work were missed. And so we received a congressional request and decided to go back and look at what happened. And we had done a report way back in 1997 about this. And so to look at what happened and why were some of these people missed.
So it looks as if the FBI might have thought that skeleton was laid to rest back in 2004, but it's up and dancing again. Is that basically what's going on?
That is absolutely correct. Because of some problems that their work was not comprehensive enough when they originally did it, they need to go back now and we've recommended and do some additional work.
So catch us up to the present. I mean, one thing is that these issues with the FBI crime lab date back nearly 20 years. Why does it matter today?
Because there are still people out there who need to have the particular work that was done in their case. They need notification that there may be an issue and an opportunity to have that evidence reexamined and look at it. And so that's why it very much matters today.
Tell us a little bit about those people. Where are they now and how many are there?
Well, the number is really unknown because what we have done is found that there are people who were missed, and now the FBI needs to go back and look at that. And part of the problem is there may be defendants who have died or defendants who were deported, and so their work was never looked at. And so we don't really know how many people's or there may have been those who they had a cutoff date. They didn't look at the cases where the work was done before 1985 because the records weren't computerized at that point. So there may be people who fall into these certain categories where the task force had narrowed its scope. And so they need to go back and find if there are any cases that there's work that still needs to be done.
I mean, can you say whether the whistleblower involved was around back in those early times, or is it someone that just was digging around and might not have been there?
So there was an initial whistleblower who brought problems about the laboratory to the FBI's attention and to the OIG's attention back in 1996. But the work that then grew out of that became much broader, and they found a number of problems, including in particular one examiner whose work was we believe was tainted, and all of that examiner's work needs to be looked at. So there was initial, you know, allegations about a series of problems, and when the task force went in, they found that the problems were even wider than what the initial whistleblower had brought forward.
So that's the Michael Malone that's in your report, who I presume is retired by now.
He was the problematic examiner where we think that all of his cases need to be reexamined. He was no longer used as an examiner, but we found during this report that they had rehired him to do background checks. And we questioned in our report how he could have been hired when they had found all of these problems with his prior work. And during the course of this report, his employment was terminated.
Well, just curious, when you questioned it, what was the answer from the FBI?
This was not the major focus of our work. We brought it to their attention immediately when we found out that he was employed, and so I really can't say anything more about that matter.
Sure. Just asking because it raises questions about how well the Bureau is checking the backgrounds of people that are contract employees as well as employees.
Well, and then this particular one did raise that concern for us. That is correct.
So what are the challenges now, though, for the FBI or the Justice Department 20 years on in going back and reviewing all of these cases? I mean, what exactly do they have to do now?
Our primary concern is that they worked to give notice to defense attorneys or defendants who are affected by this. In particular, there were death penalty defendants who are currently on death row or awaiting resentencing who we are afraid they did not get appropriate notice about the issues concerning the lab. And so that was our number one recommendation, that they work on that. There are also death penalty defendants who were executed or who died in prison, and we think that they should try to get notice to the defense counsel for those who died before their cases could be before they could receive appropriate notification. Then beyond that, our recommendation was that they work with defense counsel to try to get case-specific notice to all of the defendants out there who need notice. And to try to identify those cases that were missed. So it is a big task, but the department accepted all of our recommendations and is already working on implementing them.
We're speaking with Cynthia Schneider. She's Deputy Inspector General at the Justice Department. And just a quick point, you said someone was executed based on evidence that might have been tainted?
We found that there was a case where someone, the independent scientists who were part of this task force, looked at the evidence related to this defendant and found that it was faulty. And the prosecutor who had been involved in the case had said that this was material evidence to the conviction. And he was executed before any of that review took place. So before they had a chance to look at the science and find that it was faulty, before the prosecutor had a chance to say, yes, this evidence was material to the conviction, he had already been executed.
So given that case and others where people might have died in prison or just served unduly long prison sentences they might not have deserved, I guess that all remains to be seen. Does the OIG, do you feel there might be a financial liability to the Justice Department to pay compensation at some point?
You know, we didn't look at the issue of financial liability. We were really concerned about getting appropriate notice to those who needed it and issues of integrity to, you know, this issue we think is core to the integrity of the department. And the department, you know, agreed with us in the sense of, as we were working through these issues now, we brought anything that we found immediately to the attention of the department so that they could begin working on it right away and not wait for us to finish our report.
And have they been doing that? I mean, have they found more, identified more defendants or at least defense attorneys, and have those cases, I don't know, resumed or gotten court dates?
They prioritized death penalty cases as they thought was appropriate, and we did as well, and they have been working very diligently to get appropriate notice to all of those, and they are working through all of this process now and working on getting the notice out. That's as to whether there's any new litigation yet. I don't know the answer to that one because I know they've been working very diligently on getting the notice out, but this process does take time.
And what about the lab itself, the lab facilities? Have those been largely repaired and are up to world standards at this point?
Again, the problem primarily, and the biggest problem was with one examiner in particular, who was a hair and fiber examiner, and this was in, you know, the time period was 1996 to 2004. Scientific methods have changed since then. We now have mitochondrial DNA testing when we rely on hair evidence. And so I think, you know, the lab is certified according to the certification procedures that are appropriate. So we didn't focus at all on current laboratory procedures because there were no indications of problems with current laboratory procedures. It was really looking back at an older time when there were problems and the fact that appropriate notification did not get out during that time period.
But there are lessons learned from incidents that the government likes to cite for itself. So does it appear in general, though, that whatever happened back from 96 to 2004 has informed the way the FBI conducts itself now?
Yes, I do think that the FBI had already begun on its own a big review of all the hair and fiber cases because we do now have mitochondrial DNA, and there are reasons to go back and retest certain cases. And so I think part of the benefit of having an OIG report is you can go back and try and learn lessons from what happened before. And so that's what we're trying to do today is point out some of the problems that occurred. Most the problems really were in the the failure to track that notice was given and the failure to have a broad scope of review so that all of the appropriate people could get notification.
What about credibility, though? Because in many parts of this country, people don't have a lot of faith or trust in the Justice Department, the prosecutors and the FBI anyways. And it seems like this is just one more thing giving them doubts about the whole, you know, prosecutorial system.
Well, again, our report speaks to problems that occurred in a much a much older time. Again, it was an operation, the task force, from 1996 to 2004, and it was looking at cases dating back to 1985. And so our report only speaks to that. And again, we found some problems in that period that we've asked the department to look at and correct, and they're taking steps to do that.
But what about the fact that the Bureau, you know, until recently, the past month, still had hired in a contract form the lab examiner that was found to be at the center of this, that it took so long for the Justice Department really to address all of the cases, and even 20 years on, you're still finding some doubt. I'm just wondering what the department can do to reassure people that it takes things like this very seriously.
And again, the examiner that we found that was rehired, he was not rehired to do laboratory work. And we have seen, as we stated in the report, that they did take everything very seriously. Any recommendations that we made, they started implementing as soon as we brought those recommendations to their attention.
I guess maybe one of the lessons learned, too, is that one bad apple can really ripple pretty far and wide.
That is correct. I think that's important in that's why the work of the OIG is very important, because I do think that government employees, by and large, many of them, you know, the vast majority of government employees are good actors, but one bad apple can have a big effect. You're right.
Cynthia Schneider is Deputy Inspector General of the Justice Department. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.